listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hold up, let's take it from the top. I Fox, get my swerve on, floss pure rocks in the six drop, boo, and it don't stop. See money looking all right, yeah, what up, pop? Cross the room throwing signals, I'm throwing them back, flirting cause I digs you like that. Peep baby boy style, hoping we match. She sent me the crown royale with the note attached. It said you look like the type that know what you like, and I could tell from your jewels you go for the ice. Plus you wear the shoes well, the suit flows nice. I don't like the notes too well, let's be more precise. Meet me in the VIP, let's powwow. Whisper in my ear like, boo, let's bounce now. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Test Podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house. Kind of got a little bit of a late start today, guys, but we'll talk about that in a second. Of course, this is the Black Guy Test. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Watch us live on crowdcast.io. Just, you know, follow us on social media and stuff. We let you know when we're going live. If you see us on Crowdcast, heart us, favorite us, set your settings so that you get an email. Mm-hmm. I set it so I get an email even when we go live, and it says, hey, y'all going live.
I do too.
So that's one way to keep up with the show, and you can always watch the replay on there as well. Mm-hmm. And we do the same thing for premium people, except we keep those private. So I mean, you got to be on the know-how to get with the get down, if you know what I mean. Of course, you can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews, and if we like when we read them on Saturday, we do our feedback show. The official weapon of the show is
a taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And no sponsor today for this show. Only the reason we're starting late is this morning I got a crown, temporary crown put on my tooth. And, you know, they drug you up and stuff, which is cool. So then I just got the crown put in, went and played ball, went and got something to eat with Karen, you know, but went a little Christmas shopping, you know, I did a bunch of shit. And then, you know, I wrapped up the gifts and stuff, and then that's when the local anesthetic started wearing off, and I was like, this hurt a lot, like, so it's like at least my lips not numb anymore, but ouch. So Karen came home and I was like, well, maybe we won't even do a show, but then she gave me some Advil and I took a nap and I was like, oh, okay, I feel a lot better now. You know, so I'm just trying to tough it out, but I'm just like these millennials, guys, I'm not tough at all. Totally draked out on this one, and so we got a later start than normal. The thing is, I have something else scheduled to do at 8:30, so we can't do a very long show, being that we started at 7:10. But we're gonna try to give you guys a good show, and I think that's what matters. Also, tomorrow we'll be recapping The Walking Dead with Dago and Nicole from Breakfast with Dinner.
Yay!
And Wednesday we'll have the Black Astronauts on. So it's an action-packed week, guys. All right, let's get right into all the different kind of news that's going on and stuff, because there's all kinds of news that are still going on, guys, and by golly, we're gonna try to cover it. All right, let's see. I guess the first thing we can do is this.
Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
All right. You know what? That song is becoming quickly like the national anthem. I don't know the next verse. I actually need to listen to the whole thing all the time when y'all not around.
I just know it's a breakdown, and you know, as far as I mean, that's the whole song. I guarantee you it's not, but as far as I'm concerned, that's the whole song.
A Texas judge temporarily blocks Obama's transgender rules that allow students to use restrooms of their choice. That's right, guys. Music's fun. The news is not. It never is.
No,
yeah, so you know, they've been finding all kinds of ways to try to get around President Obama, because I mean, let's face it, guys, as you saw from the election, the United States not as blue as you thought.
Come on.
And if you've been paying attention to this show for the last, I don't know, 6 years, I feel like you should know, but it's cool. Texas judge temporarily blocked the Obama administration's directive to U.S. public schools that transgender students must be allowed to use the bathrooms and locker rooms consistent with their chosen gender identity. U.S. District Court Judge Reed O'Connor made the decision on Sunday, ruling that the federal election law, Title IX, is not ambiguous about sex being defined as the biological anatomical differences between male and female students as determined at their birth. His decision comes after Texas and 12 other states challenged the Obama directive, saying it was unconstitutional. In Texas, Monday marked the first day of classes for public schools, and Texas officials pushed for the directive to be blocked before the start of classes. O'Connor also sided with Republican state leaders who argued that the schools should have been allowed to weigh in before the directive was announced in May.
Right.
I mean, right and wrong, I guess. I mean, it's the president. He knew. I actually think history's going to look back at them and say they were wrong.
Oh, okay, my bad. I thought when you meant the schools, like some schools gave the schools the options to do it or not. I mean,
no, I think what they're saying is you should allow our local schools to say no. That's essentially what they want to say.
My bad.
Because they're assuming the default assumption of these Republican congressmen is that most straight, cishet, you know, non-trans people are going to be like, no, because I have privilege that allows me to say no. And I think the president is like, this is a moral issue, a black and white moral issue, where I feel that I am right and history will view me as right, and you motherfuckers are wrong. You know, we're not gonna put it up to a poll because you motherfuckers wouldn't pass it,
right?
You know, and it's just the same way y'all wouldn't have passed segregation or desegregation.
Come
I mean
on.
like you can't just leave it up to people sometimes. Sadly, he's gonna have to push a lot of stuff like this through just within the last 2 months, because until Trump takes over and tries to dismantle everything he's ever worked for. Texas Attorney General, and you know who I blame for this? All the people that didn't give him the Congress and Senate he deserved.
Come on,
because this shit wouldn't feel like such a last minute issue that judges can just wait the shot clock out on if it wouldn't have been for people like that. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, a Republican, had argued that halting the law before school began was necessary because districts risked losing federal education dollars if they didn't comply. Federal officials didn't explicitly make the threat upon issuing the directive, although they also never ruled out the possibility. You know, same thing happened in North Carolina with the trans bathroom law, where they had to be like, well, then you won't get funding for your universities. This president is attempting to reroute the laws enacted by the elected representatives of the people, and it's threatening to take away federal funds from the schools to force them to conform, Paxton said. That cannot be allowed to continue, which is why we took action to protest states and school districts. The Education and Justice Departments did not immediately react to the injunction. Paul Castillo, a Dallas attorney for the gay rights group Lambda Legal, that had urged the courts to let the directive stand, said the ruling was a continuation of attacks on transgender people. I think today is going to be a hard day for transgender students, Castillo said. The decision is certainly emotional and certainly an attack on transgender students' dignity. So, yep. Mm-hmm. Texas gets $10 billion in federal education funds, so.
Yeah, Texas has the largest school district in the country. Like, everything goes off of what's based in backward fucking ass Texas, from the textbooks to everything. It starts in Texas and it kind of migrates to the rest of the country.
All right. Shout out to, some of the comments in the, thing, though. One of them's from Sydney, Australia. And the guy says, Obama, get your priorities right. The American debt is $21 trillion, and you are responsible for $12 trillion on your watch, more than all previous presidents put together.
People dumb.
Anytime, that's, you know what, though? That's that white entitlement, though. White people view the economy as theirs, as their baby, as their thing. And the most important thing. And all this other shit is why they stopped fucking with Obama. You know what, nigga, rape on campus, what they got to do with the economy? I want a bigger, better paying job. I should be a millionaire by now. Work on it. What the fuck you mean about this, you know, this racism shit? Stop, come on now. Don't nobody care about this Trayvon Martin shit. Back to the economy, please. Same thing, LGBTQ rights, you know, gay marriage, don't nobody care about this economy, stupid, you know.
Yeah, because for a lot of them, that's the only thing that fucking matters. Everything else be damned. And it's like, nah, dog. For a lot of people, passing these rules is life and death, but you don't give a fuck, because regardless of what's passed or what's not passed, it's not going to affect you until it affects you. And then, depends on who you are and how you feel, you still won't give a fuck.
Transgender cop is banned from LGBT event that she organized over fears that her uniform would upset other participants. A California transgender police officer was prevented from attending an LGBTQ event that she helped organize over fears that her uniform could upset others in attendance. Mm-hmm. The San Diego Police Department officer Christine Garcia helped plan the Transgender Day of Remembrance event held Thursday, which honors those who lost their lives to anti-transgender violence and hate. But when she tried to enter the event as a member of the LGBTQ community, she was asked to leave because she was wearing her uniform. Garcia, who transitioned last year and is San Diego's first transgender cop, was also part of the police security detail that watched over a commemorative march during the annual event. Following the march, a program was later held at the San Diego LGBT Community Center, which Garcia had tried to enter but was kept out due to her uniform. City Commissioner Nicole Murray Ramirez, a longtime LGBTQ activist, called the incident an outrage. Any officer, be they gay or straight, should be welcomed into our community center in uniform. They protect our community and neighborhood and make San Diego a base. Yeah, I don't know if that was the tactic to take there, but okay. Leaders at the center apologized to Garcia and the police department's chief after learning about the incident. Dolores Jacobs, CEO of the San Diego LGBT Community Center, said in a statement to the LA Times that they did not wish to ever make any community member feel unwelcome. Yeah, sounds like they just didn't know. Like, when she showed up in uniform, people was like, excuse you.
Right. Mm-hmm. We ain't got no time for no, I don't care.
You get out of here, pig. And then it was like,
that's what it turned into.
And then later on, when they was looking for the speakers and shit, they was just like, when is, Officer Garcia gonna speak? Officer Garcia, come on up to the podium, please. Hurry up, please. Let's go. We are waiting. Officer Garcia. Excuse me. Oh. I think I kicked her out. We didn't know. We, keynote speaker, you say? Oh, okay. yeah, we need to talk in the back real quick.
She organized everything?
You still got her, phone number, because we might can get her back up here. Yeah, maybe it just wasn't communication properly, which is funny if she was on part of planning and communication was a problem.
Right, look like her photo would have been everywhere. If you ain't know nobody else, you know her face.
Or maybe they knew her out of the uniform or something. Plus,
they have.
In the LGBT community, you know, that there's still violence with cops and shit. And,
right. So a lot of
harassment from police officers and stuff. So there's still a lot of disdain.
Right.
Towards officers sometimes in ways that I think, you know, we as straight people, as cishet people, we don't fathom, because we're like, oh, why would gay people be mad at the cops? It's like, well, you know, just with transgender people alone, they make up a higher part because of how they're ostracized from, you know, certain employment. they make up a higher incident of sex workers and shit. Mm-hmm. So it's they're like
abused,
right? Yeah. Who knows how cops, you know, these are people that cops will have interactions with on a lot of the base, on a, mm-hmm. you know, very often,
and
who knows how they abuse them,
right? A lot of people had negative experiences and things like that, and it's, you know, just like black people, you know, when you see cops, you know, even if that officer isn't bothering you, isn't in your vicinity, there's something that jumps in you. Mm-hmm. And it's something that jumps in them. And I don't say that their fear is not real, because it is. And they was like, mm-mm, you got that uniform on. And, you know, until entity of police officers change their image, you will continue to have this division between police officers and the people.
Yeah. But they did say they would address the policy and with the staff and everything, and make sure that that's understood, that hey, we do welcome the police into this community center, even regardless of that,
right?
You know, they're just like, it's a bad look. And I mean, it's got to be a tenuous relationship with like police in certain communities anyway, because that, you know, when you schedule events, you do want to notify the city and stuff so they can get out there and protect you. And I'm sure that LGBT events have, they need protection because there's fucking psychopaths out there that will attack them and shit. So it's like every time we get together, it's a big ass target on our back. So we do want the police to be in our favor and around and protect us. Mm-hmm. You know, same way that when Black Lives Matter has a march, I'm, you know, whether it's an anti police corruption and police overreach and brutality march, you still want the police to be there, you know, to protect you. You know, not every officer is, you know, fucking Vic from The Shield. No. You know, so I do understand that it's a complicated relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, at any rate, that was part of the news. Let's see what else happened. Louisiana Attorney General challenges LGBT rights order. Louisiana, you say? They took this article down from the Washington Post. Anyway, that's why I have Pocket, because they save it. Louisiana's Republican Attorney General asked a judge Thursday to block the Democratic governor's order banning discrimination in the state government against LGBT people in an escalating dispute over the protection language. In his court challenge, Attorney General Jeff Landry says Governor John Bel Edwards' anti-discrimination order violates the state law and exceeds the governor's authority. He seeks to have the order declared unconstitutional. Landry said he filed the petition so the court may decide if the governor can circumvent the legislature to create his own law. The governor continues to violate his duty to faithfully execute the laws by legislating through executive fiat, the attorney general said in a statement. Edwards responded by accusing Landry of putting his own political interests ahead of the needs of our states. He maintains only businesses that reserves the right to discriminate are eligible for a state contract. And that's just wrong, the governor said in a statement. New opportunities arise for our state every day because we will not discriminate, including having the 2017 NBA All-Star Game relocate to New Orleans. So even the governor's like, look, it's about this money too.
Come on.
Like,
didn't Pat McCrory show y'all niggas this is about that goddamn coin? Your own people will turn against you. You fuck with their money.
Yeah, like it was on some like fuck right and wrong. What about these coins though?
Right, let them do what they want to if it's gonna fuck up our money.
Louisiana's governor and attorney general have clashed repeatedly over the anti-discrimination order Edwards issued in April, which prohibits discrimination in the government and state contracts based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The order includes an exception for contractors that are religious organizations. So even then, they're already allowing for people that are bigots to be able to use the money, as long as you say that, oh, this is a religious towing company or whatever the fuck you are, you know. Jesus towing, well, we don't tow no gay people. We tell you that much.
We only tow people to heaven. We'll tow you to hell if you're a sinner, but we right. Tow everybody else to heaven.
Everybody else goes straight to heaven. AAA, you call AAA if you want to help them triple gays. But as far as we concerned, these trucks only go straight.
Straight to heaven.
Landry's office issues
on the wings of God. towing company.
Right. Landry's office. Yeah. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Yes!
Construction. How can I help you? Landry's office issued an opinion in May saying the order has no binding legal effect because it seeks to establish a new protected class of people that doesn't exist in law and that lawmakers have refused to add. The attorney general has blocked dozens of contracts to let state agencies hire outside lawyers that contain the anti-discrimination clause. I don't understand why you would be upset about protecting people. Well, you just going
people.
So you gonna try to pass laws to protect people? Nigga, that's what every fucking law is.
Right?
Every law is essentially supposed to be protecting some group of people. It's like, oh, like even the laws that we're like, oh, they misused this law or it's fucked up. The law was initially passed because it was, oh, well, we gotta protect people. Even when it's wrong, for the record. Mm-hmm. You know, even when it's like, let's lock all these black people up under drug laws because we need to protect white people. But every law was designed to protect some people. The motherfucker like, protect gay people? Well, now you've gone too far. I do declare. Lastly, a quick primer. Fidel Castro apparently has some issues with his LGBTQ rights record in Cuba, and this is on where I go to get all my news of the LGBT variety. That unicorn booty, y'all. Mm-hmm. unicornbooty.com, check it out, it's real.
Okay,
they follow me on Twitter. We go together now.
Okay, what the hell is unicorn booty?
It's a website, unicornbooty.com.
okay.
Okay.
That sounds like a porn name. Okay.
I mean, first of all, that would be a very weird porn. Since unicorns don't exist. Unicorn booty searches the world for the most surprising and irresistible news, culture, and opinions, and sprinkles on some pop sugar for fun. We're an online magazine connecting readers to all sorts of new ideas from forward-thinking creative troublemakers like yourself. Whether it's politics, entertainment, travel, or anything interesting happening in the world, Unicorn Booty is the treasure trove for online fun. The National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association agrees. They gave us the 2016 Excellence in HIV AIDS Coverage Award for our coverage of PrEP advertising imagery. Mm-hmm. So there you go, Unicorn Booty, y'all. While recently deceased 90-year-old Cuban President Fidel Castro helped expand healthcare and education in his country, his dictatorship also harassed, imprisoned, and prevented LGBTQ people from gaining additional rights under him and Cuba's one-party government. Here's a quick overview of his legacy, LGBTQ legacy. He threw gay people into working camps. In the work camps. 1965, his regime began imprisoning gay men, political dissidents, and other undesirables deemed unfit for military service in the prison work camps, known as military units to aid production, UMAPs, where, according to a 1967 report by the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights, they were forced to work for free state farms for 10 to 12 hours a day, from sunrise to sunset, 7 days per week. Poor alimentation with rice and spoiled food, unhealthy water, unclean plates, congested barracks, no electricity, latrines, no showers. Inmates are given the same treatment as political prisoners. That was in the report, which meant suffering routine abuse at the hands of guards. These camps were subject to a Little Seeing documentary in 1984, a documentary called Improper Conduct, which you can watch in its entirety. They have a online link to it. Also mentioned in Before Night Falls, a 1992 autobiography of gay Cuban writer Reynaldo Arenas, which was later adapted into a 2000 film of the same name starring Javier Bardem and Johnny Depp as a trans smuggler. Castro eventually took responsibility for the UMAP camps, stating that he didn't pay attention to them at the time because he was focused on fighting foreign enemies like the United States, which tried to topple him more than 7 times over. Quarantining HIV positive people. In the 80s and until 1993, the Cuban government quarantined HIV positive people, mostly gay and bisexual men, into sanitariums. In 1988, LA Times article explains that while the sanitariums were like small suburbs, people were placed into these camps for the rest of their lives and only allowed to leave under supervision. Improved HIV treatments later compelled the camps to reduce their detainment times to 3 months. Many American AIDS experts during the late 80s criticized the Cuban model of incarceration based on supposed future behavior as as irrational and totalitarian. Using the law to prevent expansion of LGBT rights, Cuba eventually decriminalized gay sex in 1979, and although Cuban law currently prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation and employment, housing, statelessness, or access to education or healthcare, the international LGBTQ rights site, or Turi.com, says nonetheless the settled discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity persists. More recent examples include the exclusion of lesbian tennis player from the national team. In fact, Cuba still gets a not free rating by freedomhouse.org, stating the rewarming relations between U.S. and Cuba did not lead to a comparable change in Cuba government's respect for civil liberties and fundamental political rights. In fact, throughout Castro's rule until the current day, Cuba's one-party system created laws restricting free press, public protest, and political organizing, all vital tools in securing LGBTQ rights here in America. Last year alone, Cuba had 8,616 politically motivated short-term detentions for the crime of public disorder, disrespect for authority, and pre-criminal dangerousness, all charges that commonly get used against political dissidents. So basically, essentially, you don't have the right to protest.
Right.
Which I mean, you know, in America we do lock up people for protesting as well.
Yeah, we do.
So, you know, I don't think this is a matter of America being able to shake their finger at Cuba on some like we better. I mean, although some of this shit is beyond what America would do, it's still not America, like America's hands are clean. His daughter could change Cuba's climate on LGBTQ issues. Mariela Castro, Castro's daughter and the country's de facto first lady, currently serves as the director of the Cuban National Center for Sex Education and has helped pass laws to help trans Cubans get gender reaffirmation surgery free of cost. She has also worked on unifying force for Cuban LGBTQ rights generally, but her group is literally the only Cuban LGBT rights organization recognized by the government, even though others do exist. So yeah, complicated legacy, complicated man. You know, I saw people being like, well, he took responsibility for it, which I mean, that is better than not, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, it's like at this point you kind of are, I guess you have to reach for the lowest hanging of fruit, you know, because that's all that's out there. You know, it's like how we read this news every week, and it's not like this is ever a good happy segment. Mm-mm. no matter where the news takes place, you know, America, if it's American news, it's American people being fucked up. Back to just news. Black Lives Matter praises Fidel Castro in an article about overwhelming sense of loss after his death. And that's a kind of a complicated thing too, because Matter is organization that centers LGBTQ marginalized black voices at the center. And then you have this person who has a sketchy history at best with LGBTQ Cubans, but he was very supportive of black liberation. He was very supportive of black people in the United States that would have been political prisoners, but that he gave asylum to. He supported actual revolutions in to free people in Africa and stuff. So complicated shit, man, you know. And I saw this, and I saw a lot of people being like, oh man, they shouldn't have did this. This is a bad look and stuff. But the thing I was thinking when I read this headline was just controversial people do controversial shit.
Yes, sir.
You know, BLM is a controversial organization. You know, like they're going to do some things where, I mean, people already don't agree with just the very simple message of Black Lives Mattering. So what does it matter if they endorse a dude that has a checkered past that people don't fuck with, you know? Like, people already wasn't fucking with them on some levels to a large extent. Maybe you alienate some black and brown people that don't fuck with Fidel, who say, I don't fuck with Black Lives Matter. But, you know, ultimately, this is kind of the pains of growth and the pains of leadership and the pains of making these decisions, is the way that they can approach, you know, certain people and want them to be pure and perfect. People are going to do the same to them now.
Yes, they are.
And they're going to say this endorsement of this man is not a pure and perfect thing. you know, like, you how dare you. But yeah, so at any rate, you know, they say he was not without flaws and stuff like that, but it's like, when you, I will read the whole statement, but it's like, when you read it, it's kind of like, you go, oh yeah, well, you're kind of downplaying any flaws or shortcomings, and just to be like, we love this guy, you know. And I will say this, loving Fidel Castro is one way to piss off a lot of white folks, and I think some people have been running to that just for that reason.
Yes sir.
You know, like, these white folks gonna be mad as fuck.
Well, I'm gonna come over here and party and make them mad, and I don't give a fuck about anything else around it, associated with it, you know, people having to, they were like, I don't care, white folks mad, I'm here.
Right. Yeah, it said, we are feeling many things as we awaken to a world without Fidel Castro. There's an overwhelming sense of loss, complicated by fear and anxiety. Although no leader is without their flaws, we must push back against the rhetoric of the right and come to the defense of El Comandante. And there are lessons that we must revisit and heed as we pick up the mantle and changing the world, as we aspire to build a world rooted in a vision of freedom and peace that only comes with justice. It is the lessons that we take from Fidel. From Fidel, we know that revolution is sparked by an idea, by radical imaginings, which sometimes take root first among just a few dozen people coming together in the mountains. It can be a tattered group of meager resources like Sierra Maestro in 1956 or St. Elmo's Village in St. Elmo Village in 2013. Revolution is continuous and is won first in the hearts and minds of the people. It's continually shaped and reshaped by the collective. No single revolutionary ever wins or even begins the revolution. The revolution begins only when the whole is fully brought in and committed to it. It is never over. Revolution transcends borders. The freedom of oppressed people and people of color is all bound up together wherever we are, in Cuba, South Africa, Palestine, Angola, Tanzania, Mozambique, Grenada, Venezuela, Haiti, Africa, America, and North Dakota. We must not only root for each other, but invest in each other's struggles, lending our voices, bodies, and resources to liberation efforts which may seem distant from the immediacy of our daily existence. Revolution is rooted in the recognition that there are certain fundamentals to which every being has a right, just by virtue of one birth: healthy food, clean water, decent houses, safe communities, quality health care, mental health services, free and quality education, community spaces, art, democratic engagement, regular vacation, sports, and places for spiritual expression are not questions of resources, but questions of political will, and they are requirements of any humane society. Revolution requires that the determination to create and persevere these things for other people take precedent over individual drives for power, recognition, and enrichment. Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of people that say, well, then why y'all fucking with Fidel when he didn't provide all these things to certain Cubans? A final lesson is that to be a revolutionary, you must strive to live in integrity. As a black network committed to transformation, we are particularly grateful for Fidel for holding Mama Asada Shakur, who continues to inspire us. We are thankful for that he provided a home for Brother Michael Finney, Ralph Goodwin, and Charles Hill, asylum to Brother Huey P. Newton, and sanctuary for so many other black revolutionaries who we, being persecuted by the American government during the Black Power era, who were being persecuted by the American government during the Black Power era. We are indebted to Fidel for sending resources to Haiti following the 2010 earthquake and attempting to support black people in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, when our government left us to die on rooftops and in floodwaters. We are thankful that he provided a space where the traditional spiritual work of African people could flourish regardless of his belief system. With Fidel's passing, there is one more lesson that stands paramount: that we are rooted in the collective vision when we bind ourselves together around quest for infinite freedom of body and soul. We will be victorious. As Fidel ascends to the realm of the ancestors, we summon his guidance, strength, and power as we recommit ourselves to the struggle for universal freedom. Fidel vive. So, as you can imagine, there a bunch of people that don't fuck with that. I'm sure there's people that absolutely do agree and whatnot, because like I said, it's almost like Fidel and black people in America struggle. It was almost like they was both kind of trolling white folks, Cause like, we fuck with Fidel and y'all don't. And he was like, and I fuck with these niggas y'all don't fuck with. You know? And there was some sort of camaraderie in that, you know? I don't think that's going out on a limb to suggest. But yeah, there's a lot of people that you can, just from the comments, that don't agree and stuff. All right. But like I said, controversial people do controversial shit.
Yes, they do.
Expect no less. All right, let's see. Let's get into, was there any other news I felt like covering? Oh, man. So there's a Japanese skating rink that froze 5,000 dead fish into the ice as an attraction for visitors. And it had to close because they received a barrage of criticism, with one labeling the attraction sinful. So
they froze real fish.
What they did was, they wanted to do a skating rink. So what they did was they found fish that were unfit for consumption, like dead fish, okay, that were like on sale and shit. And then they froze them, and then they put them in the, they froze them in the ice for the skating rink. So you would be skating on the ice rink, you'd be skating and essentially looking down at a big ass,
some fish.
Yeah, and they had all kinds of fish in there too. I'll try to see if I can put it on screen.
Was it safe? Was I gonna fall on the fish?
No, it didn't seem like that. So the amusement park Space World is now melting the rink, which could take about a week. It will hold memorial services for the fish. Memorial services. What? Rest in peace, fish.
Too bad we couldn't put you in sushi.
Tuna vive. This is just this is just the footage of it. I don't know if you can see it on your screen, but like, that's an octopus.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. All right, I guess it's moving slow on my end. I don't know why, guys, but hopefully if it shows up, you guys will be able to see it. But oh yeah, my whole crowdcast is moving slow.
Yeah, girl, because you're moving, but you're moving now. I don't think you're moving in real time.
Okay, let me refresh, guys, sorry about this.
No problem.
Yeah, my whole joint was moving slow, and I'll probably have to reshare that screen. But yeah, it's just, I mean, it's an idea that I would have been like, oh, white people thought of this, or maybe it's an attraction for white people, because like underneath they have like words, they took fish and spelled out words and say like, and the words are English, like hello. So they probably thought, well, white folks will just be into this shit, which I mean, not a bad guess. Yeah. You know, like, I don't think you're reaching out on a limb to say white folks would be the first people to sign up to ice skate over dead fish spelling letters, you know. Let me get myself back on screen here. All right, I am back on screen. I will try to share it one more time. We'll see if we got it this time, guys. Karen, you let me know when you see it.
Okay.
Like, they got stingrays.
Okay, I do now.
Yeah, like, this is a sting. Like, they got three stingrays under the
ice. Big as hell.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. It looked neat. My black ass is never going to ice skate, but that looked neat.
They got the fish spelling out hello.
Oh.
You know, and I mean, I guess you can say no fish were harmed, so they didn't get live fish.
Right. The fish were
fish in an arrow.
Well, I guess their thing was like, these fish are already dead. We didn't kill the fish, y'all.
Well, it's just such a bad idea, because like, the water, the ice isn't clear enough either.
Right.
So it just looks like dirty ice that they made, like they took a lake and just made ice for skating. But yeah, it got closed down.
That's not a good idea. It wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid. Let's see. I guess we can do some,
now somebody got to waste a week to defrost it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got to microwave it for a bit. All right, let's do some fucking with black people. Like I said, I don't have much time, so I'm not even gonna play the music. There was a white woman mm-hmm. who went into a Chicago store.
Okay.
And she said, I'm gonna go myself on a little bit of a rant here. She was feeling herself. She had just voted for Trump, and she thought,
proud of that vote, apparently, going by what you talking about,
this would be a perfect time to let these people know in this store how I feel. Now I won't play the whole thing. It was a lengthy rant. It went on, like, the video of it is 10 minutes and it went on longer than that. Americans do love a winner. I voted for Trump, and look who won. White people want to be discriminated against so bad. They want to be oppressed so bad. She keeps killing you, discriminating against me. You say you're discriminating against, but you're discriminating me right now. You want to call me names?
What prompted this?
Whiteness. 400 years of oppression, I believe.
Something happened prior to, you know.
She went on a 45-minute rant directed at an African-American.
45 minutes do you talk?
Directed at African-American and Hispanic employees. Judging from the woman's house, the incident appears that started when she asked to purchase a large shopping bag, calling the store employees animals. She claims she's being discriminated against as a white Trump voter. How the fuck could she voted for Trump when she just walked in? I guess she's like, I'm a white woman. You can assume I would vote for Trump. The majority of us did.
Sure did. The poll show you did.
She says the real discrimination is what they're doing to her.
Which is what, sending you a fucking bag?
Mm-hmm. So.
Doing their jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor white people. She out here showing her ass and you got other people going.
She eventually sees she's getting filmed and goes off on the woman who's filming her.
What the fuck, you in a public place?
And yeah, she tells her, why don't you go home to your husband who's cheating on you?
And I said, okay, just ring it up. And I started to. And then you said, ma'am, we're all human. You're not going to give me some sort of liberal lecture about who's a human. Your job is to ring people up and tell them to have a nice day. You are not going to give me a psychology lesson. You are not going to tell me who I can vote for and who I can't vote for.
What the fuck? You called them animals. She said we're all human. And you're like, bitch, I know you didn't.
Yeah, she was ready for that fight. Yeah,
you came in there to fight.
Yeah, she been on Facebook for the past 2-3 years arguing with people, and she just bought that to real life. She's the comment section come to fucking life,
right?
And people think that the comment section is just fucking random people. They are real motherfucking people, y'all. The comment sections are real people,
right? So but you know, hey, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, you did. You voted for Trump.
You announced that to the store.
Did. Yes, you did. And then you
right. She was like, because I voted for Trump. Like, you announced that to, no one knew that. No one had to know. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
No, 100, fuck her.
Yeah. She walked in there to fuck with black people.
Yes, she did. I don't care what anybody says. Trump being voted president emboldened racists to cut a fucking fool.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think they right because they won. You're still wrong.
Yep. A black man went into CVS to buy some sliced cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So they called the cops on him. Because that's a reasonable thing to do. You know,
what kind of cheese did he?
Doesn't matter, Karen. I think he asked for all the money in the register cheese.
Can I have a felony cheese?
Three men denied service at a local CVS in Carytown.
Instead of checking out the customers at the counter, employees called the police and hid in the store.
8 News reporter Jonathan Costin talked.
Maybe he voted for Trump.
We're still baffled at what happened.
Yeah, that's right, Juan.
Did he ask for the cheese? And he was like, "Listen, I voted for Trump. You filthy animals." Cause they let that white woman rant for an hour and no cop was called. She just straight up went complete 100% white
security,
woman racist.
Nobody walked her ass out the store. Ma'am, you're disrupting the fucking store. Get the fuck out of here, ma'am.
She's discriminated against, Karen. Okay. I don't think you understand. She is being discriminated against because she voted for Trump. And that's what,
which
she don't
nobody
need...
knew until she goddamn announced it.
Meanwhile, a black dude comes in like, I'd like 2 slices of cheese. Whoa, buddy. Look, we got ourselves a 187. Call the police.
You're being too aggressive with
sir,
this cheese.
Back up off me, sir. Sir, now I'm just going to ask you one more time. Please put the cheese down. Okay, you made this a threatening motion.
I know. Don't be a monster with that cheese.
Employees called the police and hid in the store.
Jonathan Costin talked to 2 of the customers who are still baffled over what happened.
Hey, that's right, Juan, Christina. The 2 men I spoke with didn't understand why they couldn't go into the store and purchase items. Instead, they had the police called on them. Something strange happened to Rick Berry and his roommate Philip Blackwell when they went shopping in this Carytown drugstore last night. Berry asked an employee for 1 thing.
Sliced cheese. All I asked was for sliced cheese. And she told me that they didn't carry it.
Berry said before he knew it, the 2 employees just vanished.
We looked around for about, I want to say 30, 45 minutes, and we couldn't find anybody.
A 3rd customer was also in the store.
He was actually in the store before we were.
Okay.
Yeah. And he had a bad tooth. All he wanted was some Orajel. That's all he needed. And
maybe I need that.
The employees disappeared, and we all just became part of some weird event.
Eventually, Barry says police showed up. The customers and the police worked together to find the missing employees.
He was laughing with us because, you know, we were like, this is how, you know, weird movies start, like weird apocalyptic movies start, just joking about it.
And Barry shot his own Snapchat video that shows officers trying to find the employees.
Someone called the cops on us.
Eventually, the officer took another phone call, and that's when the 3 customers were
being kicked out because they were scared of us and they were hiding.
Well, I'm letting you know, you gotta go.
Just told us that we needed to leave the premises or else we were going to be arrested for trespassing. And that completely flipped the script on all of us, and we had no idea what was going on.
All right, Richmond police told me today they did get a call last night regarding people acting suspiciously inside. Also, there had been a disturbance at the same location earlier in the day. In the meantime, I spoke to a spokesman with CBS by phone today. The company is apologetic for what happened to the men, and they're going to speak to the employee to determine what happened. Jonathan Costin, 8 News.
I sue the fuck out of you. Fuck you and them employees. I own a fucking CVS.
Ain't always a incident that happened earlier.
Y'all got fucking tape. It's fuck goddamn tape. Your employees left your store wide open. That's not a problem.
It's a CVS too. Like it's a chain.
CVS.
You know? But my point is, it's always an incident that happened earlier, ain't it? You know, if a homeless dude went in there and shit on the floor, they don't go, no more white people coming in if it's a white homeless dude. It's always these mysterious incidents that they didn't call the cops for a report, right? The mysterious incidents. So yeah, 0 to 100, Karen.
100. Fuck you, CVS.
Can't even buy cheese at CVS.
Come on, dog.
Or jail. Can't even get or jail. Mariah Carey's ex, Nick Cannon, says Planned Parenthood commits genocide against Black Americans.
When he the one doing them weird videos not too long ago,
the spoken word,
the doorstep, and he was in the dark.
That was him.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with y'all? You niggas are crazy.
Yeah, he went on the place where everybody black goes to say some dumb shit, the Breakfast Club. It's like a fucking requirement. It's like, if you get rich, you gonna go, if you're rich and you're black, you're gonna say give Trump a chance. And if you're dumb and you're black, you go on the Breakfast Club and just end up saying some stupid shit.
Yeah, because like, the rumor came out you had a baby on the way last week.
Are you sure it's not yours?
Because I don't want you to come back. I just want to make sure.
Who said it wasn't mine?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. He's expecting a baby with Brittany Bell. Okay.
What child is yours?
I got a baby on the way.
Oh, God.
From Brittany Bell.
He's like, let me get this straight. Absolutely.
Okay.
We put that out there.
Nothing wrong with that, Nick. You can afford it. You're worth $50 million.
God said, be fruitful and multiply.
There you go.
I'm doing the Lord's work out here. You need one?
You really have a baby on the way?
You want one?
I need a baby. You get a baby.
Yeah, everybody get a baby. I'm passing them out. We shooting.
Daddy Nick.
Okay. So that same, in that same ignorance, somehow he advocated that Planned Parenthood was committing genocide. He said, everybody, Hillary was sneaking and cheating. Think about all the stuff they did with Planned Parenthood, all that type of stuff. That type of stuff is to take our community and forget gentrification. It's real genocide. I'm not playing all this. It's real genocide, and it's been like that for years. The system is not built for us. He also said, what was the other thing he said? Picking out these candidates was like choosing which gun you want to get shot with. It's the same system. Pick your oppressor. You can't vote your way out of oppression. His best Kaepernick impression. Hey man, if you think this shit is two sides of the same coin, when you see these office appointments, these cabinet appointments, shit look like white supremacist face cards and shit.
White supremacist super friends. What the fuck is happening?
This shit's like Big Joker, Little Joker, King, Spade, Deuce of Spades.
White supremacist Justice League.
Yeah, these motherfuckers sitting over here talking about it's the same. You sound so fucking stupid. Oh man. And it's always the same shit. It's based off a little bit of information about Margaret Sanger, and it just completely, who founded Planned Parenthood, and completely just completely ignores all the work that Planned Parenthood has done. All the people who run it now, all the stuff that they, you know, not that, even if they did 1,000% abortions, which I don't know how it's possible, it would still be fine. It's a woman's choice to procreate or not procreate with her body, and a woman's choice is never genocide. That's not genocide, because a woman was allowed to choose whether or not she wanted to have a child. But more importantly, they only do 3%, so even the lie is fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, even in your lie, you're erasing the fact that they only do 3% of what they, only 3% of what they do is actual abortion. The other 97% of shit, like mammograms,
condoms, birth control, STD tests, help you with mental
prenatal care. It's like helping people to have babies. You just they are convinced that Planned Parenthood, the inside of it looks like that machine of Prometheus that got that face hugger out of her. That I'm convinced that that's what they think it is, because it's the only thing that makes sense. At any rate, man, 0 to 100 for Nick Cannon's, I don't even know what the fuck is he wearing? This shit like Mr. Popo from Dragon Ball Z on his head. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Ah, that Mr. Popo. Oh, he get 100 for that stupidity.
Yeah. Also, do white people not know what the fuck he's up to in his free time? Because there's no way they would let him keep hosting shit if they knew he was out here saying this shit
in these
black spaces.
They don't know who the hell Charlamagne is. Like, he go.
No, I'm talking about Nick Cannon, though.
Right.
Do they, because he hosts shit. He's like on America's Got Talent. Yes. Do they not know what the kind of dumb shit he's saying? Because it's not like they're saying, because here's the thing. Some people are like, well, it's true. That's the kind of nigga they want to get a job. I feel you on that, but here's the problem. They don't have them saying it on their stations. Like, it's not like they said, hey, can you come on to Good Morning America and talk about how Planned Parenthood is committing genocide against black people and Donald Trump ain't that bad? Could you do that? They don't do that.
No, he entertained them and he don't talk about them, so they give zero fucks.
He just goes on these, like, these places where black, only black, like, who is his audience? Cause black, there's no black people who are like, well, not no, there's not enough black people who are like, that Nick Cannon, man. Tell you what, I got to watch America's Got Talent now. You know?
You either watching or not.
He said on Donald Trump, I like my racism served straight to my face. And he believes that Trump's presidency will encourage change in America. It's got to be nice to have some money. Got to be nice. Oh, just what does that feel like?
Misinformed. You ain't got to read shit. You just say whatever come to your mind.
I mean, would that happen to me if I get rich? Will I just
no
be able to just completely just, you know what? Let's give the Klan a chance, guys.
No, nah. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm for the old school. Mm-hmm. And nothing says old school like that KKK.
Nope, that will never, ever happen, because regardless of how much money your black ass make, you still woke and you will always be woke. So,
aren't you supposed to be in school? Ain't you supposed to be at Howard? What happened to that? It's not fall break yet.
Not yet.
Shouldn't you be preparing for your midterms or something? I don't know what's going on, man. Finals are coming.
They are.
Nick Cannon just out here doing interviews saying dumb shit, and that's okay. Oh God. 0 to 100,
Karen. Oh, 100, and yeah, I will never let you cut a food tip because you got money.
I'm assuming I'm gonna have a white woman by the time I get that rich, Karen. I don't know the rules.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the rules. I'm assuming there will.
Well, then,
if black people come into money, if you gonna be with me and we come into money, you're gonna be right next to me being like, and you know what, I think we just need to give Mike Pence a chance.
No.
And hold hands in unity. I feel like that's what's gonna happen. Look at Jill Scott. She was woke as fuck, and then one day she was just out here like, and I think Bill Cosby is a good man. It was like, oh well, shit then. It must be the money. It must be.
Mm-mm. Well, I'll tell you and your white woman I'm on half.
I mean, you're going to be saying the same shit if it's a lot of money. I'm not worried about it.
You know!
Because that's what rich black people do, apparently. We just walk around, talk about giving white people a chance, Karen.
No.
All right. Well, that's what I heard.
You tell Becca to kiss my ass.
All right. Let's do some white people news.
All the same, no matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue.
Parents just don't understand.
I remember one year my mom took me school shopping. It was me, my brother, my mom, my pop, and my little sister all hopped in the car.
Headed downtown to the gallery mall.
My mom started bugging with the clothes she chose. I didn't say nothing at first.
I just turned up my nose.
She said, what's wrong? This shirt cost $20.
I said, mom, the shirt is flat with a butterfly collar.
The next half hour was the same old thing. My mother buying me clothes from 1963. And she lost her mind and did the ultimate.
I asked her for Adidas and she bought me Zips. I said, mom, what are you doing?
You ruined my rap.
She said, mom, you don't have a rap yet.
Let's put these clothes back, please.
She said, no, you go to school to learn, not for a fashion show.
This is a shining light. Come on, mom, I'm not Belgium, I'm pleased, but back the bell bottom.
Baby bunch trousers.
But if you don't want to, I can live with that. But you gotta put back
the double mint reversible slacks.
She wasn't with it, everything stayed the same. Inevitably,
the first day of school came.
I thought I could get over. I tried to play sick, but my mom said,
no way, forget it.
There was nothing I could do.
I tried to relax.
I got dressed up in the
ancient artifacts.
So when I walked into school, it was just as I thought.
The kids were cracking up, laughing at the clothes of the bar.
And those who weren't laughing
still had a ball, cause they were pointing and giggling as they clunked down the hall. And told my mom how my day went. She said if they were laughing, you don't need them because they're not real friends. Well, 6 hours I tried to explain to my mom that I was going to have to go through this about 200 more times. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand. Listen.
That's my jam.
Isn't it ironic that everything he said his mom bought him, Macklemore would have been more than happy to wear just 2 years ago? Interesting.
Yeah, and everything his mama bought him, his own son would have been more than happy to wear.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about white people news, guys, okay? Birkenstocks have stepped into the big time. Mm-hmm.
These are shoes, right?
Yeah, white people shoes. The company that makes the iconic Birkenstock sandals has become embroiled in family disputes and stagnation. Then a former TV executive was brought in to shake things up, heralding a new dawn for the cult brand.
Oh, shit. Okay, you got pictures of Birkenstock. What's a I've heard of these shoes, but you put them in front of me, I wouldn't know what the hell they are.
They just like them white people Jesus sandals. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, okay.
It's like, you just imagine a white person in sandals. That's them. That's the Birkenstocks. They got the thick, like, soles. Yeah. So, yeah, apparently.
Big straps across the feet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, they, apparently are, and they just quit Amazon. Because they had a surge in counterfeit sales. People was faking it.
Mm-hmm. So the company quit Amazon because of the fake sales?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So.
So people send them imitations.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for cheaper.
Yep.
Right.
At any rate, they're stepping into the big time, guys. Mm. Also, an expansion of Little Village mayonnaise factory has raised pollution concerns.
Mayonnaise out here causing pollution concerns? Mayonnaise ain't nothing but it's egg.
Is that what it is, Karen? Or is that what you just were told to believe? Why they got a big ass factory if all they just be an egg factory? Is that what you think is happening?
I mean,
that's it. That's all they doing in the mayonnaise. Just take an egg. Yeah, well, apparently environmental advocates are concerned that the planned expansion of the Hellman's mayonnaise factory in the Little Village neighborhood will bring heavy truck traffic near an elementary school, exposing children to harmful diesel fumes. Doesn't get much whiter than that. The Little Village Environmental Justice Organization wants Unilever, parent company of Hellman's maker Best Foods, to commit to using trucks fueled by compressed natural gas, CNG, or electricity, which produce lower carbon monoxide emissions rather than diesel. Costs a lot more too.
Right.
We are already overburdened with air pollution, said Kim Wasserman, executive director of LVEJO, who said 500 to 900 additional trucks will come to the new facility daily. This is going to exacerbate the situation. Construction for the new single story mayo factory and distribution center on a vacant site near 28th Street and Kilbourne Avenue will start early next year, according to Chicago Alderman Munoz, who has said that the facility may need as many as 60 new workers. Site preparation for the facility and expansion to an existing factory is going on this fall, Munoz said. The site is near Zapata Elementary Academy. Wasserman said Unilever has donated $20 million to upgrade the school, but the upgrades do not address air quality concerns. What are you going to get a kid's mask, your gas mask?
I guess they're expecting mayonnaise sales to go through the roof in Trump's America.
They probably will. I don't know why you're laughing at that. I've invested in several white people stocks, mayonnaise being one of them. My cheese stocks should come in soon.
Ah, that is a nice one. Yeah, I need do something with my 401k. Tell
got some in cheese. Privatized prisons, because I know they coming back.
What? With
Hillary had your boy nervous, but I'm trying to get like Nick Cannon, okay? But yeah, so they're worried about the pollution to the children of expanding this, this mayonnaise factory. Mm-hmm. Unilever is the parent company of Ben & Jerry's ice cream and Lipton tea as well.
I didn't know that.
So we'll see what happens. Yeah, man,
they might change because they white kids, but you know, let some poor little black kids in Michigan be without, still without not clean water.
Oh, nigga, this was Flint. If this was Flint,
it wouldn't even be an issue.
They'd be making these kids bathe in mayonnaise. They wouldn't give a fuck. They'd be like, well, the money needs to be made. But yeah, these white little white angels, you know, they might be okay. Casey Affleck, who I believe is Ben Affleck's brother, he has a dark secret, the disturbing allegations against the Oscar hopeful. The producer and cinematographer of his mockumentary, I'm Still Here, accused the Manchester by the Sea star of a long cycle of sexual harassment and verbal abuse. Casey Affleck has spent years teetering on the precipice of movie stardom. Recognizable last name aside, Affleck's acting chops appear not only rival but surpass those of his more famous brother. He was lauded for his twitchy turn in Gone Baby Gone and earned an Academy Award nomination for The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. But the younger Affleck was undermined by his own passion project. Coming off of a hot streak of acting roles, Affleck made the unexpected decision to refocus his energy on an experimental documentary about his brother-in-law, Joaquin Phoenix. That germ of an idea eventually blossomed into an infamous project, 2010's I'm Still Here. In this documentary-turned-cautionary tale, Affleck chronicled Phoenix's fake evolution from leading man to aspiring rapper, complete with notorious TV interviews and the general appearance of personal and professional implosion. Critics' reactions to the film range from apathy to confusion to anger. One Slate writer declared that the worst thing about the I'm Still Here movie is the fact that it exists. Damn. Even Ben Affleck admitted that his brother may have made a mistake with that one, noting, I thought it was a really smart, creative thing that nobody else had thought of, but he did it at the expense of his acting career. It's hard to paint the good-looking, headstrong brother of one of the world's biggest movie stars as Hollywood underdog, and yet, with Casey emerging as a frontrunner for the Best Actor Oscar for his work in Manchester by the Sea, the 41-year-old's biography has been reworked to fit this winning narrative. In the film, Affleck plays a man whose life has been upended by a tragic event. It's the sort of dark, emotionally exhausting performance that finds actors showered in awards and accolades. Affleck's turn has already garnered rave reviews as well as magazine profiles that are usually reserved for Oscar favorites. A few of these stories, like October's Variety cover story on Affleck, featured an aberrant footnote. Nearly 2,000 words into the profile, there's a brief mention of sexual harassment. As to comment on two sexual harassment suits that were brought against him by women who worked on I'm Still Here, Affleck responds, people say whatever they want. Sometimes it doesn't matter how you respond. I guess people think if you're well known, it's perfectly fine to say anything you want. I don't know why that is, but it shouldn't be, because everybody has families and lives. The Daily Beast reached out to Affleck's representative for additional comment to no avail. Of course, Affleck's family man mumbo jumbo doesn't really do justice to the severity of his allegations. In December 2008, Amanda White agreed to serve as a producer on an untitled documentary headed by Affleck and Flemmy Productions, ultimately became I'm Still Here. She had a decade-long history of working with Affleck. Over the course of filming, White alleged a complaint that she was repeatedly harassed. On one occasion, she claimed Affleck ordered a crew member to take off his pants and show White his penis.
What?
Even after she vehemently objected, she claims that Affleck repeatedly referred to women as cows and recounted his sexual exploits with reckless abandon. In her complaint, White recalled Affleck asking her, isn't it about time you get pregnant, once he learned her age, and suggesting that she and a male crew member reproduce.
What?
Yeah, it's funny because he just made it sound like, well, these people just accuse you of anything, but this woman had a 10-year working relationship with him. She's gonna burn that for no reason?
Right.
White's accusations go on, ranging from incredibly unprofessional behavior to actual physical intimidation. She described an instance where she was prevented from returning to her bedroom during the shooting because Affleck and Phoenix had locked themselves in her room with two women where they had sex with them. Affleck was married with two children to Phoenix's sister, Summer, at the time, though the couple recently split. She also alleged that Affleck attempted to manipulate her into sharing a hotel room with him. When she resisted, White claimed he grabbed her threateningly and attempted to scare her into submission. Affleck then allegedly proceeded to send White abusive text messages calling her profane names for refusing to stay with him. White filed a $2 million lawsuit against Affleck in Los Angeles Superior Court in July 2010. As part of her producer duties, White was also asked to renegotiate an agreement with Magdalena Gorka, the film's director of photography. Gorka had previously left the project due to an alleged similar pattern of harassment. In her complaint, Gorka described her treatment at the hands of Casey Affleck as the most traumatizing of her career. Almost immediately after beginning to work on the project, the gross comments allegedly began. Gorka claimed Affleck and other members of the production team openly talked about engaging in sexual activities with her and jokingly suggested that she have sex with the camera assistant, a good friend of Affleck's. On the assumption that Affleck's behavior wouldn't or couldn't get worse, Gorka said she stuck with the project and traveled with other crew members to New York for shooting in mid-December 2008. At the time, Gorka was the only woman actively working on the film. That diversity, huh?
Come on.
In lieu of paying for a hotel, she said Affleck and Phoenix decided to have the crew stay overnight at their apartment. After a long shoot, she claimed Phoenix offered to sleep in the living room and give Gorka his private bedroom. According to Gorka's complaint, she awoke in the middle of the night to find Affleck laying in the bed next to her. She alleges the actor was curled up next to her on the bed wearing only his underwear and a t-shirt. He had his arm around her and was caressing her back. His face was within inches of hers, and his breath reeked of alcohol. Unaware of how long Affleck had been there or whether or not he had touched her while she slept, Gorka said she was shocked and repulsed. When she ordered Affleck out of the bed, he allegedly responded, "Why?" To which she replied, "Because you are married and you are my boss." Affleck then allegedly asked if she was sure. And when Gorka remained resolute, she claimed Affleck left and slammed the door in anger. Gorka then said she flew back to New York, informed her agent of Affleck's sexual advances, and quit the project. When Amanda White contacted Gorka in January 2009, the cinematographer decided to give the film another shot. So he basically sent a woman to do his dirty work. Like, come on, talk to her. She said she had been unsuccessful looking for work in the week since walking out on Affleck. And yeah, probably not a lot of, I mean, you were the only woman working on this project. Probably not a lot of work out there for women in this field.
Right.
And believed that having another woman on the set would foster a safer working environment and prevent further sexual harassment. If true, the presence of two women was hardly a deterrent. Over the next few months, Gorka alleged she was subjected to a nearly daily barrage of sexual comments, innuendo, and unwelcome advances by crew members within the presence and with the active encouragement of Affleck. In addition to being berated and verbally attacked by the director, she claimed she was constantly criticized for refusing to be submissive in response to his disrespectful comments and undermining rants. After months of work, Gorka once again resigned from the project due to alleged harassment and abuse. And what Gorka perceives as clear retaliation, Affleck refused to honor the terms of her employment agreement, which included a director of photography credit on the film. According to her complaint, Gorka continues to suffer from humiliation, embarrassment, emotional distress as a direct result of the harassment and abuse she endured during the production. Yeah. Mm. Imagine how many other people won't work with her, too.
Right. She doesn't like to play ball. List, right.
You don't like to play ball, man.
They can't harass you and fuck you.
She's just a bitch, man. She just comes on here. She expects us all to, you know, act like she's the shit. Gorka filed a $2.25 million lawsuit against Affleck in LA Superior Court 1 week after White. Amanda White also claimed Affleck retaliated against her complaints. After White objected to Affleck's behavior, she said he failed to pay her agreed upon producer's fee. According to White, he also failed to pay her a living wage while she worked on the mockumentary. At the time of her complaint filing, White maintained she had not been paid for any of the work she did on the film, a project she said she toiled over for over 3 months. Overall, these complaints paint a decidedly different picture of Casey Affleck, leading man. In addition to the alleged harassing the women he employed, Affleck said is said to have actively enjoyed putting them in uncomfortable positions, refusing to step in as the working environment on the project became increasingly hostile. In the words of White's thorough and deeply damning complaint, Affleck encouraged her to participate in the harassment of plaintiff and Gorka for his own twisted gratification. Furthermore, both women insist that Affleck's treatment only worsened when they objected, a campaign of retaliation and verbal abuse that ultimately culminated in his refusal to honor their contracts. Yeah, so there you guys go, man. I just think Manchester by the Sea is an important movie that we as black people need to support, no matter what these women say.
Ain't nobody paid you yet. You can't jump ship already.
I'm just saying, we need to support this white man, or who else is gonna tell these stories, guys? Okay, white people only get these kind of stories to Hollywood once a year, if that. And this is an important story about a coming of age of a 41-year-old white man that really just made some, just a kid making mistakes, guys. Okay? Can't we forgive him? Hasn't he paid enough by not paying these women at all? Just by the fact that we know of the allegations, isn't he the real victim? He's just a family man. Let that man provide for his family. That's all I'm asking. The defense rests, Your Honor. All right. Let's do some sword ratchetness, then I gotta go. I'm sorry, guys. But we made quite a show today, didn't we, guys? Somehow made something out of this.
Yes, we did.
Hope you guys enjoyed it. Sorry it's short. Hopefully everybody listening is premium. They can just go listen to some premium shit.
Yes, sir. There's plenty of it out there.
I'm sorry, everybody. A man disguised as a ninja broke into an Alaska store to steal a sword.
What?
Yeah, I guess he's getting it back. Katana sword is missing from an Alaska card shop after a burglar in a ninja outfit broke in. Whenever that Japanese flute came through first. Security cameras filmed the costume suspect entering Anchorage business sometime after close Friday and leaving with what looked like a Japanese-style curved sword. Spinner Bosco's employee, Erich Helmick, said inventory is being checked out that so far it seems the sword is the only item missing. It must have been the ancient sword of Hiranamashu or some shit. It must have been important, guys. He just steal that one sword? Did he disappear in a puff of smoke? At any rate, Helmick said the Anchorage Police Department responded to the incident and the report has been filed. So be on the lookout for a ninja with a sword if you guys are out there in these streets. We'll be back tomorrow with Dago and Nicole, and we will be recapping The Walking Dead. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.